The story is told of a man running after another man with a knife to kill him. And just then, the call for prayer rang out. The man with the knife spread out his prayer mat, knelt, said his prayer as fast as he could, and then was on his way to murder the other man. We strongly question such religious practice. In our study today, the Lord Jesus sounds a warning against hypocrisy. Let's read together the first two verses of Mark chapter 7. Ken Brooks is reading from the NASB translation. This is Mark 7, verses 1 and 2.
And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered together around him when they had come from Jerusalem, and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed.
The Pharisees and the scribes had many regulations, as we've noted before in our studies here in the book of Mark. They had begun by following the instructions in the Word of God, but then they had added many traditions. In fact, they placed a greater emphasis on the traditions. Take, for instance, this matter of washing the hands. We all accept this as being a good idea. But their primary interest was not whether the hands were washed or not, but whether the hands had been washed in just the way that they said they had to be washed. So it wasn't a matter of whether the hands were clean, but the method of the washing that interested them. I'd like to give you a few of the details so you can see what I mean. I quote, "Before every meal and between each course, the hands had to be washed, and they had to be washed in a certain way. The hands to begin with had to be free of any coating of sand or mortar or gravel or any other substance. The water for washing had to be kept in special large stone jars. First, the hands were held with the fingertips pointing upwards. The water was poured over them and must run down at least to the wrist. The minimum amount of water was equal to 1.5 eggshells full of water. And while the hands were still wet, each had to be cleansed with the fist of the other. The fist of one had to be rubbed into the palm and against the surface of the other." Well, I think I'll stop there. There are more details. I think you can see it's really complicated. If you want to know all the procedure, well, you just write to me for details. Seriously, I think you see that they were burdened down with regulations. One rabbi that was put in prison by the Romans used the water that was given to him to drink rather to observe the rules of hand washing, and he almost died of thirst. Man-made regulations often get to the place where they're considered more important than the Word of God. Notice how the Lord Jesus answered these men when they questioned him as to why his disciples did not wash their hands in this ceremonial way. Mark 7, verses 5 through 8.
And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God. You hold to the traditions of men.'"
Notice what the Lord Jesus called these men. He called them hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? We don't like the word, but what does it mean? It has the basic idea of a person who is an actor, or it's been defined as one whose whole life is a piece of acting without sincerity behind it all. Now, this was a serious charge, but the Lord Jesus could read men, and he understood these scribes and Pharisees. They were hiding behind rules and regulations. They were not real. They were fakes. Behind their robes and pious long faces, they had no reality. They could fool people, but not the Lord Jesus. They were men who pointed their fingers at others in accusation. The Lord Jesus warned them of their sin, the sin of their teaching of doctrines, of the human rules that they were following. They were teaching these as doctrines, but really, They were matters that men had written down. As he said, they were neglecting the commandment of God and holding the traditions of men. While he was at it, the Lord Jesus cited another example, Mark 7, 9 through 13.
He was also saying to them, "You nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by is korban, that is to say, given to God,' and you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down, and you do many such things like that."
Here's another very serious charge against these religious leaders. The word korban means gift. Something that is korban is considered already on the altar. And by means of this, men would give their wealth to the priests at death, but as long as they lived, they would enjoy it themselves. It was a very convenient way of escaping responsibility. If their parents were in need, they would just tell their parents, "I'm sorry, I can't help you because everything I have is korban or dedicated to God." And everyone knew that once you made such an oath, there was no changing it. The religious leaders saw to that. In Living Gospels, those last verses read, "And so you break the law of God in order to protect your man-made tradition." And this is only one example. There are many, many others. We've touched on a real problem today. May the Lord deliver us from hypocrisy. There is reality in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not dependent upon a list of do's and don'ts. Only one has ever kept the law and kept it completely, and that's the Lord Jesus. He died for you and for me. He died as a substitute. Salvation is not doing. The work is done. That's the word we proclaim, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you accepted this gift of salvation?